week's parsha, Kiseitse, is one of those parshias which you get to pick any mitzvah you want because everything's there. But I want to talk to the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. The Torah gives two specific mitzvahs in regards to Shabbos Aveda. One mitzvah Aseh of Hashem Teshivim, and one of those Aseh of Losukhala Hisalem. That's very clear in the Gemara that the Isha Losukhala Hisalem, you cannot ignore, you cannot pretend as if you don't see it, is referring to that you see the item. You want to continue further on. Even before you picked up the item, the Torah is already commanding you, you must go get the item. The mitzvah of Shev Teshivim is a machlokas rishonim, if that is immediate, or that's only once you actually pick up the item. When you pick up the item, now you have a mitzvah to return it. I don't have a mitzvah to return it yet, I don't have it yet. I have an iser to ignore it, thereby forcing me to get into the situation where I'm going to have to return it. The Gemara learns out from these from drushas that not only does it apply to a Shabbos Aveda, which is a person has a loss of money, it would apply to a Shabbos Gufay. There's assumption amongst the Poskim that one of the sources for the Chiyuv to refuah, a person has a mitzvah, if he can Mirnapa somebody, his mitzvah to Mirnapa somebody, it's a Kalba Karma. If I have a Chiyuv to help him get his money back, I have a Chiyuv to help him get his health back. His health is more valuable. It's actually a Chofetz Chaim, that's one place. And that's true for his body. Kalba Karma is true for his neshama. So the source of the mitzvah of Kiruv HaChoykin would be the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. That's what he says. I have a Chiyuv to go and help other people come back to turn the mitzvahs. Now, that's not only necessarily somebody who's a Kiruv HaChoykin, it's also the Gantz of Kiruv Kriven. They also have to come back to turn the mitzvahs, because we always have to do tshuva. So that mitzvah to help somebody else would be a kiyum of the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. The Mor also learns out, the Mor gives an example. I see that the river is overflowing and it's about to flood this person's field, which will damage the field, etc. And I can put some sandbags there and block the water. That's also Shabbos Aveda. It's not lost yet. Preventing a loss is also considered a Shabbos Aveda. So if I'm in somebody's house and he realizes he's left and he didn't turn off the lights, and I can turn off the lights before I go, I would have a mitzvah of the Torah of a Shabbos Aveda to turn off all the lights before I leave the home. One time Baruch was walking with me after tomorrow. I go around and I basically shut all the lights, unless the janitor is there, if he's into a Megan anyway. I shut off all the lights in the building and I shut the windows. And he says, why? He says, a Shabbos Aveda. He says, what does that mean? He says, I can prevent the loss. That would be a mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. I gave you a flowchart, which was printed in the Sefer. The copyright line on the bottom got cut off a little bit. It was a Sefer by Rabbi Yisrael Pinchas Badner, Rabbi Pinny Badner from Lakewood, called The Halachas of Other People's Money. He wrote Halachas of Muksa, and he wrote the Halachas of Refuah, and he wrote other Svarim as well. So that's the copyright across the bottom, which I missed. It cut off a little bit. So the question which he wants us to deal with is, okay, we're coming through a situation, do we have limits to Shabbos Aveda? He created a very nice flow chart. So let's walk down the flow chart a little bit and see what we can learn from it. So the first is, I see an item. So I need to know, does it have the status of being something which is lost that I have a mitzvah Shabbos Aveda? So the first answer is, if it's found in a safe place, the answer is it's not an Aveda. The person put it down over there, it's in a safe place, it's not lost. He might have forgotten about it. He'll come back and get it. So a person comes to my house and puts his umbrella in the corner, right, and leaves an umbrella in the corner, and it's gone, and it's gonna, you know, it's not a Shabbos Aveda because it's in a safe place, it's in my house. In my house, I have 17 rambunctious children which destroy anything which is within their sight, then that would not be the answer to a safe place. But I have a nice, quiet state house, so it's not an Aveda. I have a mitzvah to just leave where it is.
Somebody who leaves their item in your house, like a coat in the coat rack or whatever, right, it is, you have no obligation to return to that person.
Right, it's a chesed, but it's not the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. I find it in an unsafe place. So we have to assume one of two options. The person put it there intentionally and wants to throw it away. That's not the assumption in the law. We assume the person wants it back, and therefore we have to assume it. He put it down temporarily. I walk into the Wheaton train station. I see on the bench over there a safer. Well, it's not a safe place. The probability that the person put it down, got up for the train and forgot it there. So he didn't intentionally, he's not trying to throw it out. He wants it back. So that would be a Shabbos. It's put there, tinuach, but it's not safe. That would be an Aveda. It's found in a semi-safe place. So that's a fascinating din. You have something which is, it's not obviously totally, you know, in danger, but so in other words, theoretically, you could leave it there for a little bit. The person might come back and get it and might actually find it there. So then the halacha differentiates between something which has a yesh b'simen or an ein b'simen. There's something which is ein b'simen, don't touch it. Because once you take it, you have an obligation to give it back to the true owner. The purpose of a simen is a way to identify your chiyuv of the Torah to make sure it goes back to the true owner and not to somebody else. So once I have it, I don't know who the true owner is. He has no way to prove it to me that he's the owner. He has a way to prove it. So leaving it in a semi-safe place, when it's a yesh b'simen, why should I do that? I'm much safer than that place because I can arrange that he should get it back. But if it's something which is ein b'simen, once I have it, he'll never get it back. So I'm not allowed to give it back without a simen. If I leave it there, he might get it back. So it comes out that somewhat counterintuitive, if it's ein b'simen, then you leave it as yesh b'simen, you take it. So depending on what your answer to B is, you might not take it. So depending on what your answer to B is, you might yes take it. Then you have to know, does the mitzvah apply? So if it's worth less than a pruta, the mitzvah doesn't apply. We grapple nowadays, the next step is owner has forfeited his ownership in it. So that's called the Veda Midas. The person has no interest. Yeah, I'm just leaving it there. You know, I had a lunch, and you see I ate my lunch. It says on it, you know, pastry oven. And I look, you know, I put it down, a little leftover, and I walk away. I'm not interested in it anymore. I mean, I'm a litterer, that's a different issue, right? So you want to come over and finish off my lunch because you know you're hungry. So you're allowed to take it. It's a Veda Midas. The assumption of many poskim is that you're allowed to take it. It cannot be retrieved. It fell in a place where normally it's not able to get it. Somebody just gave me an example that, you know, that they were on the Chesapeake Bay and dropped their cell phone into the water, right? Or they dropped their expensive watch into the water. So, okay, so now you can't get it back very easily. It happens to be a diver comes in the next day and pulls it up. He has no key to return it back to the owner. That's the more it refers to that. It's in Zutul Shoyam. It's in a place where it would be consumed by the yam. So you're not mukhiv to give it back. You know, so we go and retrieve everything on the Titanic, and the guy says, "Well, I'm the great great grandson of the person on the Titanic. That's very nice, but I don't have to return it to you."
Is that a problem? So you drop your watch in the ocean, you've got a diver right next to you with a mask and gear on, and you can go and look for it.
No, because then you wouldn't be that, right? Because there's a way to return it,
yeah.
Right? Belongs to an akum, so there's no mitzvah shabbos aveda by an akum. But the Shulchan Aruch says if a person would want to return it for the purpose of kiddush Hashem, obviously that's a good thing to do. But there's actually an interesting din below the finder's dignity to pick it up. If it's something which the finder, because of his stature, etc., would not take care of it himself, even if his own thing, he would leave it there. So then the Torah was not machai of him to in some way injure his dignity to do it for somebody else. So I found this, like, you know, whatever. I'm not sure I can think what the example would be, but, you know, the more he talks about a case, he found an animal, and, you know, this person is this chashuv tamachachim, he doesn't schlep animals down the street. That's not, you know, that's not his dignity. The modern version is I find somebody's, you know, television screen, you know, television box, and I find over there, and I know who it is. I'm not going to schlep a television box down the street, you know, Rabbi Rangel. That's great, you know. And I'm not doing it, you know. So I'm not mechayim to do that. Torah wasn't mechayim to do that. Okay. One of the questions which we have over here in C is, you know, nowadays we have things which are worth more than a pruta, but people's attitude towards money has definitely changed. You go back 70 years ago, the average person's income was, you know, could be some of the person could be earning $10,000, $20,000 a year. That was called a good salary. Nowadays, the person is on, you know, the lower stratus of welfare at that point, you know, right? So the attitude towards money has changed tremendously, you know. So I have a pen. Okay, a pen. I've got the pen. You know, I'll buy another one, right? So am I more to be frumer than the guy himself? The guy himself couldn't care less about that stupid pen, right? And I, it's a pen. I have too much of a tomato. So I have this box in my house of pens, which I make an announcement. Nobody comes and retrieves them because they couldn't care less, right? So, but I'm a little bit firmer than them. So at first glance, maybe you are. Some person grapple with maybe that goes into this idea of owner. He's a Veda Midas concept. And nowadays, we could argue some of these things become so insignificant that as soon as a person is aware that he lost it, we can assume he probably doesn't care, even though there are some other. So D is, okay, if the mitzvah doesn't apply, in many cases I can keep it. If the mitzvah does apply, so I can't keep it, so I have to return it. So how do you return it? So the Torah says, there's a chiyuv, you must make sure it goes back to the true owner. Once you found that you are now the representative of the true owner, so I guess, oh, I think probably he's the right guy, so I'll give it to him. You are representing the true owner, and you're giving away his item to somebody else. You're not allowed to do that. So you're mechuyev to clarify in a valid halachic way that he's really the owner. You can't just make, you know, I think it's okay. Now, in a case where you're not mechuyev to return a mikra din, and you're allowed to keep a mikra, then you want to return it, then you can do whatever you want with it. You can keep it, you can give it to so-and-so, that's fine. But a case where you are mechuyev to return it, so then... you must have a siman. You must have, well, Halacha says, actually, there's one opinion more that even a siman is not really enough. You really need eidim. But Chachamim said that's going to be very difficult, so they made a tekana to allow siman. But Mina Raisa, you would need eidim to be able to give it back. Otherwise, you couldn't give it back. So we rely on siman, and that's Halacha, we rely on siman. So what's the definition of a siman? The item itself is something unique. Is I found a pen. No. I found a big pen. No. Right? I found the big pen, which is blue, also not an assumption of love. I found the big one, which has a scratch on the right, on the bottom right. Right? Okay, that's a good siman. Or the number of pieces are found. It's, you know, there was eight big pens put together with the rubber band. Okay, that's a siman.
So really, the mere description of the mass-produced item is not a siman. Is it a regular mass-produced item?
Right.
That's not a siman.
The reason why it's not a siman, not because we believe you're lying, again, because maybe you lost one, he also lost one.
Because it's mass-produced, so there's more than one of them.
That's right. So I would give it back to the true owner. I'm not saying you didn't lose a blue big pen, but how do I know this one I found is the one that you lost?
What if it's situational? Like,
okay. The unique feature of the container with the item was in, or a specific location. I can tell you where you found it, so that the siman is now makom, versus makom is a valid siman. So yeah, the chances that there was two blue big pens exactly on that seat in the shul, that's not, that you're not going to be worried about. But the fact that somewhere in Silver Spring two people lost the blue big pen, yes, you're not going to worry about that possibility. So if I give you a siman of the location, that would be valid siman. Now the assumption of Allah is that money has no siman, because there's a lot of money out there. Now, if I would give you the, there's a person, some person grapple, even if I would give you, and I assume even if I would give you the ID number on the dollar bill, right?
It's still not considered a siman.
Not a siman. Why? Because money passes from person to person. So Reuben gave it to Shimon, right? So Reuben had $100 bill. He gave it to Shimon. Shimon says, "You know that $100 you gave you, I lost it. Good." They make akraza, and Reuben's like, I'm the ball guy. He says he remembers the number, and he goes and cops it from Shimon. Because you haven't proven that Reuben was the last person who lost it. Because Shimon was one of, somebody else lost it, and he's gone with noise from him. So that's interesting. So the assumption of money is that there's no siman of money now. But there is another issue, which is E. The item has no identifying features. So can I keep it? Well, it depends, was there yiyush or not? So maybe kept only after it was found after the owner became aware of loss that there was yiyush. There's no siman. We assume once he knows, we assume he'll be miyayish. Does he know? So if it's something which is heavy, so obviously he dropped it. It was heavy. He noticed that he dropped it. Like, not immediately, obviously, he would have picked it up. But, you know, he walks a few more steps and says, where'd that go? Looks around, you know, doesn't see it. Or it's something which is valuable. So the more says that we have assumption a person is aware of his money because money is valuable to him. The person grappled with nowadays, the more assumes even for a pruta that assumption is true. The person drops a pruta, we can assume he is aware they dropped the pruta. Rabbi Yashar says that nowadays we can't assume that. The guy drops, you know, an agorah, you know, about it. He drops an agorah, like, really? He didn't know he had one in his pocket to start with. That's how worthless it is, you know. I dropped a penny. How many pennies do you have in your pocket right now? Zman Chazal, the assumption was that you would know how many pennies you had in your pocket, and you would notice that the penny was missing. Nowadays, I don't know. I have some pennies in my pocket. How many? I don't know. So how could I realize I lost it? So Rabbi Yashar says it has to be of a... that assumption that we can assume when I find money, I have a right to keep it, because probably the person is aware of it before I found it. So he says no. The Chazish disagreed. The Chazish says no. Imazman Hazel, Chazal said there's an assumption that money is on your mind. He says, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you, even bigger tradition, he says, pens also would be mutter. because maybe he didn't really drop the pen. It has Amber Simmons, so it's Miayish. You're always aware, you're always playing with your pens. You're always, pens in and out. So there's that also goes into this idea. The point is, it's not just that it's valuable, the more says you're also the mashmash. You're constantly touching it, you're constantly aware of it. So he assumes that that's true now, even nowadays. Now, let's say it's Amber Simmons. But I'm not sure if the person, I can't determine if the owner already knows about it. So it's one obligated to pick it up. I found it before the person became aware, or maybe he's so I'm going to pick it up. I can't return it. I have no way to return it. I can't take it because the owner wasn't Yayish yet. So if it wasn't Yayish yet, it's not mine. I can't. It's still awesome to take. But that's very nice. But the next question is, do I have a key to return it? So Rabbi Baker says no. The Torah doesn't chayv you to return it if you can't return it. So there's no lusha chalizal and there's no hashem teshivim. And you're allowed to leave it. So I walk by in the shul and I see a pen over there and say, oh, the Torah's a bit of it. You know, just forget about it. Move on with life. The one exception, if you would find in a place where there are Tamid HaChomim and they're the primary people who live there, they have a right to get it back based on something known as the Tfiyah Sayin. Even though there's no specific simon, they get something. Now, it's something which has already been used. You recognize your items without looking for simonim. You know what's yours. So Talmud Chacham is believed to say that it's his. But it's only something which has been used, not something which is new. Okay. Let's say it's something which you do a mitzvah shavu. So then you have a chiv to be a shomer. Then that's section F. And you have to publicize it. So where do you have to publicize it? So you have to publicize it. The law says you publicize it in the Beis HaKnesses. Assumption being that, you know, that was a good place for people to be, people would come, everybody would hear about it, either the person himself or other people who were aware that he lost it. And by publicizing the Beis HaKnesses on a regular basis, you would get the, nowadays you put up a note in the shul. If you could put it up nowadays, you know, somebody asked, can you rely on just putting a note on the listserv? I don't think so. Not everybody that suddenly reads the listserv. If they're on the listserv, they're not suddenly reading the listserv. Not everybody's on the listserv, you know. Yes, but you put up a note in the shul, you do as much as you can to make sure the person gets it back. Are you allowed to charge them for your tircha? So we differentiate between a potential gain and actual loss of money. I'm a worker. I had to skip work to schlep back your item for you. I lost 3 hours worth of wages. I can charge you for that. As a matter of fact, if I can estimate that it's not worth it to the loser, I should give it back with that charge, so that I have no mitzvah shabbos aveda. Because it's not a mitzvah shabbos aveda that I should take a loss, so that he should take a loss. So I'm not mechayev to touch it. But it's a question. I would like to charge you worse than the porter in the airport. He charges X amount. So I want to charge you for the work that I can't charge you for. The fact that I carried it for you, but the fact that I had lost, that I lost money. So then I'm not mechayev to lose money for that purpose. Private loss and found policy. Ramosha has a chuber. He says that an individual or a company has a right to make their own loss and found policy, as long as it's displayed publicly and it's obvious to people. So they're entering the house. You know, before you walk into the Rangel's house, it's a big sign. Everybody who walks in the house must wear pink hats. And anything which is left over here is half grafted after 2 days. That's the sign. You don't like the sign, but you walk to my house. You're walking in the house based on that sign. Right? Put on your pink hat, and anything you leave over here is half grafted after 2 days. Right? So I have a right to make any policy I want. It's my house. So I have a right to put up a sign, and when a person walks in the yeshiva, any item left in the yeshiva will be half grafted if they're not claimed within 30 days. If I don't put up the sign, I can't do that. If I don't publicize the sign, you know, that's my policy, but nobody knows about it. So the reason why it works is because the people are accepting it when they walk in the door. They have to be aware of it to accept it. Okay, what do you do if the item is not claimed? That's a common issue, right? You find something, you make an announcement, nobody claims it. So Russia says, if something which is very commonly available, it's a pen. It's a regular, not a fancy special, it's a regular pen. So we have the right. The person doesn't want that pen. He wants that specific pen. He wants that type of pen. I'll buy him another one. So if I agree to that, I will replace the purchase cost to buy a new one. Write down all the details of how the person can claim it if he needs to. Since he's not makar on that specific one, I'm allowed to take that and use that pen and then return him another one. I could sell to somebody else. as long as I'm committing to, I will cover the cost to get that item back to him if necessary. He does not really care which item of that is at, and I keep the identifying features. I write down in a notebook in some way that I can keep information that I'll be able to turn it to him when he wants. So that would be. Where do you find such a source? The more it's talking about something which, well, if you leave and keep it, it'll spoil. So you're allowed to take it and use it, etc. So Rosh is extending that idea nowadays, where someone, the person's not marked. But, what time is it today?
45.
Okay. Just one more point. A common issue, maybe one of the most common issues, is switching things. You come out after davening and your coat is not there anymore. Right? There's somebody else's coat that was there with no name in it, of course. Well, it looks just like yours, but yours is missing. Right? Your rubbers, your coat, your hat, your talus, like all these different cases. So the Gemara talks about, the Gemara says you may not use it. The Gemara talks about a case where it was Nechlep Beis Amerchatz or it was Nechlep Beis Umen. You went to the, dropped off by the cleaners, and you come back, and you go back home, and he gave you the wrong suit. Right? Can you use that suit? Right? Or can you take that talus or whatever it is? So the Gemara says no. It's fascinating. Aruch HaShulchan says nowadays the minhag has become not to be knocked. So the place to grapple with is that only true once the person realizes. I can assume that by now the person realizes he took the wrong thing. Probably doesn't mind if I should use it. I have a right to assume he doesn't mind. Because when I don't know about that, it's like a Yishalom Midas. I can't use your item with you not being aware of it, assuming that probably you would agree if you knew about it. Right now it's your item, I have no wishes to use it. So that's the assumption in Halacha. But if I can assume the person realized already, he doesn't know which that's mine, I don't know whether that's his, he probably does not mind that, and therefore I can use it under that assumption. So it comes out, the scenario of the base of America, the guy comes out, he went to the mikveh, it actually happened to somebody that I know, went to the mikveh, comes out, and his clothing is missing. So he put on his clothing and walked away. Now what's he supposed to do? Right? He can't take the other person's clothing because the person, you know, now, but he can assume, if he waits till an hour or two before Shabbos, probably the person's like, what is this? By then he's allowed. So he had to wait for an hour or two, and then like that right before Shabbos, you assume he was allowed to use that clothing and that be more. Okay.
The person who took.